God's people said. You may be seated. You may be seated. Let's thank Christine and this worship team. Can we do that? Oh, how many of you having a good day already? You know it's Father's Day, right? You know that. And I know some of us need our exercise. I understand that. But if you're a dad here today, we want to honor you, and we want to thank you for coming to church. But I need, if you're a dad, a father, I need you to stand so we can just give you some love and some appreciation. Ladies, let's hear it for our fathers, our dads. Look at all these guys. Look at all of them. Amen. Amen. Guys, that's all you get is a little of applause on Father's Day. That's it. It's just unfair. But we have root beer floats for you after church if you want to get a root beer float. And we do that in your honor. But I certainly appreciate all the dads who are here today. And we have a special guest speaker here today, a Major League former Major League Baseball player by the name of Daryl Strawberry. And Daryl, you need to know something before you get up here. This is a Dodger town. I just want you to know that. This is a Dodger town right here. Daryl won a World Series with the New York Mets, and he won 3 World Series with the blasted, good-for-nothing, low-down, stinking, filthy New York Yankees. We're having a Yankee speak here today. I can't even believe that. But we are so blessed because Daryl, and those of you that don't know, at one time, Daryl was one of the most feared sluggers, hitters in all of baseball. He's an imposing figure at 6'6". He is bald. And I don't know why, but I just love tall, bald men myself. This is just me. You don't have to, but I just love tall, bald men. I truly love this man. We have a kindred spirit, and I've been so blessed to get to know him today and this weekend. And you're going to be blessed here today with his story of how he got on the wrong track, and he was running 100 miles an hour in the opposite direction from what the Lord had planned, and yet somehow God reached his life, and he turned his life around. It is a true story of redemption. And no matter who you are here today, I don't care what path you're on. If you're here today and you're not living the way God wants you to live, I want you to know that as God turned his life around, God can turn your life around. And you say, well, God can't reach me. Oh, yes, God can reach you. And that's what this day is all about, by you hearing this testimony and knowing that the same grace that came to him can come to you. Now, he's never been here before at Shepherd, so he doesn't know what a Shepherd Church welcome is like. I want you to get on your feet and give some love to a New York Yankee and a New York Met. Dr. Daryl Strawberry is in the house. Woo! Woo!
Love you, man. Oh, you're a man. Thank you. Amen, 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 amen. Wow. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you, guys. Thank you. You may be seated. Thank you, Pastor D, Pastor Dudley. He is the man. You guys have an amazing pastor. You ought to know that. Shame on you if you're not in church every Sunday. Shame on you, because God has something for you, and you miss it when you have a pastor that loves you and loves people. And this is what it's really all about. It's not about, you know, how great I was or what I accomplished as a baseball player, but it's about the man you become. Amen. When you meet Christ. And that's what this day is all about. Happy Father's Day to all the fathers. Give it up. Yeah. Happy Father's Day, Dad. Oh, dads, stand up real quick, all the dads. Yes, it's our day. It's our day. We can do this. Yeah? Everybody else, stretch your hands towards him. Stretch your hands to him. Father, we just thank you for every father that's here today. We thank you for their life. We thank you for the call that you have over their life, the purpose you have for their life, Father. Father, we thank you for the grace that you give us. Father, it's the grace that we don't deserve, but you give it to us anyway. Father, let this day empower them. Let their lives be changed forever. May they come to a place and understand that Jesus is Lord. And they can become the head and do what you've called them to do for your great kingdom. Father, I give you glory for each and every one of them, no matter what the circumstances are in their life. You are Lord. Do what only you can do, that no man can do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Man, I just really had to do that. I really had to, you know, it's so crazy because I was here last night and had such a wonderful time, and the Lord spoke last night. And I got to bed about 11 o'clock, and there it was. The Holy Spirit wakes me up at 3 o'clock in the morning. He just, boom, wakes me up. And he says, I want you to hear what the people said to you last night in line. And a lot of people are struggling. A lot of people are not trusting and believing. And God gave me, the Holy Spirit gave me a text to really come from. And it was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. It says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Today, God's finna direct somebody in a new direction. He's finna speak, and he's gonna speak mightily because he's God. And that's what he does. And as a man, if you're here today, you need to understand, you need to surrender your life today. And some of you need to trust in the Lord with all your heart. Not trust in your situation, but trust in the Lord. See, when I look at my life, I wasn't always like this. I wasn't always saved. I wasn't always redeemed. I was a liar, a cheater, a womanizer. I was an alcoholic. I was a drug addict. I was a sinner. I was rich. I was famous. But I was saved by grace. Amen. See, you know, if you understand grace, you understand why we're here. You understand that you can't save yourself. You can't change yourself. The only one can change you is God himself. Amen. And what I love about God is he just loves people right where they're at, you know. See, when people come against you and say things against you, you don't have to worry about it. God will take care of it for you. See, we try to fight those battles. Those battles you cannot win. You cannot win those battles. You just got to lay at the altar with God and say, God, help me. God, help me. But you got to keep saying, God, help me. It's not just a one night poof and it just happens overnight. It doesn't happen like that. See, I come from a broken situation. I love coming out here to the valley, too. You know, I hadn't been out here in a long time. And I think about it. I went to Sutter Junior High, Nobel Junior High. I got kicked out of both of them. Because I was bused from the inner city. I was broken. I was empty on the inside because I'll get to my father. And I think about the valley. I think about 1979 Dodger Stadium. We played John Elway and them at Dodger Stadium. They beat us in the city championship in baseball. We played Granada Hills in 1980 at UCLA, and we beat them in the city championship in basketball. I went to Crenshaw High. So I'm born and raised in LA. But most people just saw me, you know, because I became the number one draft pick that I should be well because I was playing Major League Baseball. But they don't realize that I was broken before I ever put the uniform on. My dad was an alcoholic, came home from the last time, pulled out a shotgun when I was 14, said he was gonna kill the whole family. Wow. If it hadn't been for my mother, we would have killed him. We went into action, me and my brothers. My mother got us out of the house. Had it not been, my mother was about 5 foot. She got us out of the house because we would have killed him. See, it could have been a tragedy in my life before I ever put the uniform on. Could have been a tragedy in my life before I ever put the uniform on. But I was already broken before I ever put the uniform on. See, what we don't understand is brokenness is real. Lawlessness brings about brokenness. It brings a brokenness of generation of kids because of what happens in the family. See, as a man, if you're not right, if you're not the head and you're not living in the biblical principles, the enemy has the right to attack your family. And guess what? He's gonna do it. Because he has the right. He knows that that man is not in right place and right standards with God. And my father wasn't in the right standards, so the enemy had a field day with me and my brothers. Wow. Nearly killed my life. If you look to the media, they said I would be dead. They didn't realize that they were prophesizing on my life. The old me, the old womanizer, the old rich man, he's dead. He no longer lives. See? And it's not because of me. It's not because of anything great about me. It's because of what Jesus has already done. See, Jesus has already paid the price for every last one of us in here. Too many of us don't know. See, the Bible talks about it. It says, my people perish because of lack of knowledge. There's no knowledge and understanding of God's word. That's why I was perishing. Not because I was rich and living behind the community gates and you see athletes and you think they have it all. Yeah, we have a bunch of stuff, but you don't have anything else. See, you don't have anything else until you equip with biblical principles and learn to live according to what God's word is all about. Because I do know one thing, heaven and earth gonna pass away, but not my word. God's gonna always get somebody to preach his word. He's gonna always get somebody who is willing to give up his ego, which is a three-letter word, easing God out. See, if I can get rid of my ego, God can use me. See, when you understand all the people in the Bible, why they was used by God, because they learned to trust him, even though they didn't wanna do what God always said, do. Just like most of us, just like Moses. Moses had a speech impediment. God used him mightily to lead the Israelites out of bondage. 400 years of bondage. Moses get used by God. He couldn't even speak. Yes, he had an anger problem, killed the Egyptian, but God used him mightily. See, the Israelites couldn't realize that they could have been in the great promised land. Some of you could be in a great promised land. 11 days, the Israelites could have been in the promised land, but they complained so much, God sent them in the wilderness for another 40 years. See, God will leave you right where you at, if you're not willing to walk with humility. See, God's looking for people who are willing to say, I'm nothing. Then he can use you for his glory. When you can get to that point of saying, I'm nothing, and you don't have to be anything, all you have to be is everything that God is calling you to be. See, little did I know that God was calling me. See, I didn't realize God was calling me when I was out there lost in addiction and living any kind of way, rich, famous, hitting home runs, winning championships, celebrating, oh, woo, woo, woo. See, but the devil forgot to tell me he was gonna kill me at the end. See, that he never tells you that part. See, Jesus talks about it in John 10:10. Jesus talks about it. He said, a thief does not come except to steal and kill and destroy. I have come that they may have life and may have it more abundantly. Abundant life is joy, peace, wisdom, knowledge, power. It's greater than any stuff you will ever receive. It's greater than anything that I've ever received in my life. All the material things I had means nothing compared to what Jesus has for you. But see, we got to understand the cross. We got to understand the cross. We don't understand the cross. We just like the Pharisees and the scribes. They didn't understand Jesus hanging on the cross, a Calvary. And he said, Father, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And he says, Father, why have you forsaken me? But his last words on the cross was, it is finished. Everything that can kill us, Jesus already killed it. See, we don't even know. Jesus already killed it. Every hurt, every habit, every hang-up, every fear, every doubt, every anxiety, Jesus already killed it. I had every problem you could ever imagine, and I was in the public eyes, and they were looking at me and saying, he's got every problem, but they didn't know that this man would find me in a pit and bring me out of pit to a pulpit. Just what he does with our life. This is what he does with all our life when we decide to surrender our life to him and give him our life for real. Then I think about the Apostle Paul. I love the stories in the book, in the Bible, about different people. When I think about the Apostle Paul, who was Saul, who was on his way to Damascus. He was a Christian killer. He was educated. He was a Christian killer. And he was on his way to Damascus, and he gets knocked off the horse and blinded for 3 days and three nights. But what you got to remember when you read that text, what Jesus said to him. He says, Saul, Saul, why are you persecuting me? See, when we persecute the church, we're persecuting Jesus. Oh, y'all missed that. See, you can never get the victory if you're persecuting the church, because Jesus is the church. See, what we don't understand, this is his bride, he's the church. So Saul was this man educated and had all kind of wisdom and knowledge. He gets knocked off the horse and blinded for 3 days and night. But Saul wasn't the hero. See, when you read the text, Ananias, a man by the name of Ananias that God gave a vision to go lay hands on Saul so Saul can get his sight back, so Saul would become the Apostle Paul and he would go on to write 13 epistles. What is epistle? Epistles are letters. That's what Saul would get transferred to Saul to Paul, a Christian killer. God has a conversion. He transformed him. See, just like you can be too. You can have that conversion. See, I've had a conversion. See, this is not me operating. This is the Holy Spirit operating. He's supernatural. I can't operate like he can. He is supernatural. See, when you understand who you are in Christ, when you come to that place and have a conversion, like Paul did, then you could be able to operate in a whole different capacity that you could ever imagine. It's not about me being a brand. I'm no brand. Jesus is the brand. He's the greatest brand you will ever meet. If you ever get to the place of willing to give up your life and die and give up your life and change and come back and be transformed, Romans 12:2, and do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. It's the renewing of your mind through the Word of God. The Word of God will wash you, cleanse you, purify you, liberate you, redeem you, bring you to wholeness, righteousness, and clear understanding of why you belong here. The purpose of your life. Too many of us are missing the purpose of our life, and we're just straddling that fence. We're straddling that fence. Oh, it's just Jesus. Oh, no, he's more than that. He's the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning, the end. He's the King of the kings. He's the Lord of lords. He was wounded for your transgression. He was bruised for your iniquity. By his stripes, you get to be healed. You get to operate in a different way that you could never imagine. He is supernatural. There is no one like him. No one like him. He is supernatural. Some of you need to make your mind up and taste and see that the Lord is good. Yeah. Oh, I don't know why so many people are still, oh, hallelujah. Thank you, Holy Spirit. Why so many people are still running around eating hamburger when you eat steak every day? So many of us eating hamburger, still drinking milk when God has more for us. See, I didn't know this by myself because it didn't come by myself. Because I got rejected by my father, and I was left for dead. But God always gonna do what he do. He's never gonna change. God will always use people to help people. You need to understand that. My mama prayed for me while I was a heathen. She was praying for me. And she said, God, and when she died, 20 years ago when she died, terminal breast cancer at the age of 55, we found a journal under her bed. She was praying for us, secretly praying to God. See, some mamas in here, you need to know that. Don't stop praying, because I'm finna tell you something about mama prayer. Mama was praying for me, and she was praying for my brothers and sisters. And when we found the journal after she died, there it was. She was like, God, knock him off his throne. I don't care about his baseball. I don't care about his nothing. Deliver him. Set him free. Set Ronnie free. Deliver him. Set him free by the blood of the Lamb. See, I'm not a victim. See, I can sit here and say I'm a victim. I'm not a victim. I'm an overcomer by the blood of the Lamb. You become overcome by the blood of the Lamb. If you sit in that victim mentality, you can never get up. You can never rise up. It's not about being black or white or what they've done to me. I'm an overcomer because Jesus already done. Early Sunday morning, he went to the tomb and he got up from the tomb early Sunday morning. Not only did he get up, he got up with all power that we be able to have life and have it more abundantly like he said we could. And you have to know, you have to die. Galatians 2:20 talks about, I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, it is Christ who lives in me. It is Christ who rules and reigns over my life when you allow him to be Lord over your life. But you have to allow him to be Lord, not anything else. See, what I love about God don't need you. That's what I love about him. See, that's what I found out about him when he was waiting for me. He does not need me. But if you're willing to say yes and willing to surrender your life to him, he will use you for his glory. Because he does not need you. He's going to always find somebody that he's going to pour his spirit into. So many of us have been in the same place forever and not able to get to the next place because we won't move. We're stuck. We're stuck in what the past used to be. Oh, if I coulda, shoulda, woulda. They say, oh, well, he was on his way to being Hall of Fame. Yeah, I probably was. I probably would have made another $50 million playing baseball, but I would have never met Jesus. See, so many of us look at celebrities and we think about their life, and they got the greatest life because they have everything, but they have nothing sitting behind the community gate. Nobody can stay married. Everybody's unhappy. And I got stuff. I'd always buy more stuff to try to make me feel better, but nothing can make you feel better but the biblical principles. That's the only thing that's going to make you feel better is God's word. You know, and when you get down into it, when you decide you want to commit, you got to make a commitment, and you got to be serious about your commitment. But Paul, you know, he was on his way to witness. He was going east. Just like most of us, we're on our way going somewhere. And I was on my way going somewhere. I thought I was going somewhere, yeah. Dip, slide. Lord probably was looking at him. He said, that boy is crazy. But he said, I'm going to get it out of him, because my mama was on her deathbed praying for me, and she told me one day when I prayed, she said, God said he's going to get it out of you. Boy, mama don't lie, though. Boy, I tell you that, boy. And there it was. You know, Paul was headed east to witness, and the Holy Spirit stopped him, which the Holy Spirit does. He stopped you, and he turned him the opposite way and send him west. See, had you kept going east, had he kept going east, who would know what could happen? But he sent him west, and he becomes the Apostle Paul of all things. Wow. See, your life is the same way. My life was the same way. I was going in the wrong direction. Folks were praying for me. 16 years ago, I was $3 million in debt and didn't have a driver's license, and I was shooting dope, smoking crack. My wife, Tracy, tools today, she was the only one in my life. God used her. She was banging on dope houses, pulling me out. I said, why don't you and God just leave me here and let me die? She said, you're just not that lucky. I'll be done. See, God always has his people there that he's trying to use to get you where he needs to get you. Romans 8:28 says, and we know all things work together for the good of them who love the Lord, to those called according to his purpose. But see, you have to know that you're called according to his purpose. See, I was sitting in New York and I was planning on being rich again, and God had another plan. You know, I had started opening up restaurant business, my life's good, and then one day God knocked on my door, like I was heading east somewhere, and he was like, knocked on the door, he says, close the restaurant. I say, huh? Like most of us say, it's making money. What do I want to close it for? He said, close it. See, my wife had been praying. God knocked him off his throne. See, it's something about a woman when a woman pray to God. It's something about it if you just keep praying. You don't have to get in the way. You don't have to interfere. My wife didn't get in the way. My mother didn't get in the way. But you know what? She kept praying, and guess what happened? God knocked me off my throne again. And he said, now you're going to preach. I said, oh, no. I said, you got the wrong guy. He said, no, I got the right guy. I said, no, you got the wrong guy. I don't want to preach. He said, you're going to preach. I said, I'm not qualified. He said, no one is qualified. I qualify to call. See, we think we have to be perfect and we have to have this great education. See, I don't have a biblical education. I got a Holy Ghost education, you know? See, it's the big difference. The Holy Ghost gave me the education of the Bible because, see, God called me and said, the Holy Spirit is going to teach you the Bible. He says, go and be with him and saturate yourself and surrender, and he's going to teach you the Bible. See, Jesus said that too when he ascended. He said, I'm going to send the Comforter to you that's going to teach you all things in remembrance of me. See, you get to work in the supernatural and the supernatural birth when you get to a place of surrendering, and when you're going one way, just like Paul was, and the Holy Spirit stops you and turns you the other way, but you got to get rid of some of the old stuff so you can go the other way to the new stuff. A lot of us still want to hang on to the old, what I could have been in baseball. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, therefore, if anyone's in Christ, he's a new creation. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. I can't get to the new if I'm still talking about the old. Too many of us are hanging on the old. We're trying to live what the old is. We got to get into the new, what God has for us now. We got to commit ourselves, our heart. See, God don't need none of us. He said, David was a man after my own heart. But David had wickedness in him, but God said he's a man after my own heart. God's looking for the heart of a man or a woman, to surrender their heart to him and give your heart to him and love him, and don't love all these earthly things because they mean nothing. You need to love, fall in love with Jesus. There's no one greater than falling in love with Jesus. When you fall in love with Jesus, you don't need anything else. You will not need anything else. I'm here to tell you, I've never been hungry. Hallelujah. I've never been hungry again since I fell in love with Jesus. If I can give you what God gave me, I would give it to you, but I can't. Because I'm just like you. Sinner need a Savior. So I got to give my life, and I got to repent to him and ask him to forgive me. Because when I ask him to forgive me, guess what? He cleans me up. Now I need to be discipled. See, this didn't happen overnight. I was $3 million in debt. God set me for 7 years. He was using my wife mightily. My wife is incredible. Preacher, teacher. Just go to findingyourway.com and see our ministry. She can lay it out. I was like, oh God, why is he like that? I was like so jealous. I wanted what she had. And God told me one day, he says, because she gets with me. She wakes up every morning at 5 o'clock, get out of bed, roll out of bed to be with God. I was like, God, I ain't getting up at no 5 o'clock in the morning. But I started being with God because I saw her. I wanted what she had. She had victory. She had real peace. She had clarity. She had clarity of the word. She know the word. She know the word like I can never imagine, you know. She can just flow it. She can preach like crazy, you know. And I wanted that. And God says, you need to do what she's doing. So I started turning off the cell phone and television at night. And I went to another room and I started saturating myself and laying with God and hanging out. Guess what? He was right there waiting for me. Amen. See, some of you need to get to that place where you start hanging out with God, picking up your Bible and leaving whoever you need to leave and let them be, and let God do what he needs to do in you, because he wants to do something great in you. Hey, you know, the thing about it is, so many of us are so, see, this is, hallelujah. I like this. This here is a simple book for complicated people. It's a simple book, but we're so complicated, and we're so confused, and we're so worldly-minded, and we're so consumed with all these earthly things, we miss the crown. See, I almost missed the crown. But I'm so glad I understand who is Jesus. And we all get tempted. We all talk about the temptations of this life. Oh, the temptations of this life get to me. Well, yeah, the temptations got to me and darn near killed me. Because the temptations is real. Jesus was tempted too. He was a man just like us. He was just a man with no sin. He was holy and righteous. He was tempted. The devil tempted him. Go to Matthew 4:4, and he tempted him and said, I'll give you all this, just like he does us. I'll give you all this and make you feel better. He told Jesus that, and Jesus said, it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. Amen. He put the word of God on the enemy. See, if you don't put the word of God on the enemy, he's going to laugh at you. He's going to have a field day with your life. And he's going to do whatever he wants to, because he has the right, because the number one thing is, I'm not in right standards with God. You have to be in right standards with God, where the enemy no longer can beat you up and deceive you and move you into a place where you can't find happiness. The Lord has blessed me and my wife, Tracy, incredibly. Because you know why? Because we love people and we give ourselves to people and we sow into God's kingdom. I don't give 10%, I give 25% to God. I sow to people. God just multiplied us, increased us. The $3 million I was in debt, God gave me more on top of that, gave us more and blessed us to be a blessing to others. Because he's God. Because he, we don't, I think what happens to us, as Christians, we don't understand who we are in the body of Christ. See, when you understand who you are, you become a descendant of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Now you get to eat from a land that you don't even know about. God gives you favor, his favor. It's not man favor, it's God favor. See, all my friends that I played ball with, they all was looking at me and they were thinking, well, let's see how long this is gonna last. It's been 16 years, baby, I'm still rolling. They was like, let's see how long this lasts. He's talking about Jesus, you know? Literally, they know that I'm never going back. There's nothing back there. You know, the trophies, the championships, coming back and being a part of it. I don't even like baseball. It's so funny. I don't even like it. I don't even follow it. You know, it's just like, you know, I'm so busy working on the kingdom of God and working on lives and you know, that Matthew 6:33, seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, then all these things will be added into you. Then all these things will be added into you. He's not talking about stuff. See, God's looking for people that's willing to give their life to go make a difference in somebody else's life. That's what God looks for. Like I said, he don't really need us, but if you are willing to just become all that you need to come for God, it is the coolest thing. I don't know what took me so long, but I found it. And the thing about it is, church, I'm not trying to stay here because this is not home. I'm trying to finish the race. See, because I want to get on the other side. I want to cross the Jordan River. I want to get on the other side because there's something great on the other side. See, because when God called me and showed me something, he showed me something great. I don't get into it talking to people. He says, but I need you to preach and I need you to win souls. I don't need you to be great anymore. I need you to be great in the word of God so people can see that I'm God. So people can see that I'm the one that transformed you, not man. Man can't give you this. You only get it from God himself through his word. And the book of John is incredible. Jesus is incredible. Some of you today need to grab a hold of him. You'll never go wrong if you grab a hold of Jesus and let him be Lord over your life. See, the book of John is about believing. John 3, he told Nicodemus in less one. Nicodemus was a Pharisee teacher leader. He told him, less one is born again, he cannot enter the kingdom of heaven. He's not talking about the natural birth of all of us sitting here right now. He's talking about the second birth, which is the supernatural birth of the Spirit. Born of the Spirit is supernatural. See, you operate in a different capacity when you are born of the Spirit. You don't operate in the natural no more, you operate in the supernatural. Then there's no secrets of God, you know, there's no secrets. What I love about God, there's no secrets. Some of us sit here and think, well, God don't see nothing. When God called me 9 years ago to preach, he said, by the way, I need to let you know, everything you was doing, I saw it all. I say, all of it? He said, all of it. John 4, that woman at the well, he told her about her five husbands, said the one you live with now is not your husband. He said, by the way, that water you keep drinking out of that well, you're going to always be thirsty. But he said, if you drink this water I give you, you'll never thirst again. Amen. You will never, ever thirst again. Because that water he gives is living water. It gushes through you. It cleanses you. It purifies you. Brings you to wholeness and righteousness and right standards. God's trying to deliver somebody today. I'm just a vessel. I don't come to California just to come to California. I come because God's gonna do something in someone's life. It's a long trip for me to come from the East Coast to the West Coast. I gotta be back here next Saturday at a men's conference. But I go because God sends me. Because it's not about me, it's about him. And that's what you have to get in your life. It's not about you. It's about him. It's about God. 1 John 4:4 says, greater that he that's in me than he that's in the world. It's the great one that lives inside of you, Christ himself. And he will allow you to stand and do wonderful things for him if you're willing to surrender yourself. Had I not been willing to surrender myself, I wouldn't be able to operate in the supernatural like this. It's because of the great one. It's because of Jesus. It's because of him hanging on the cross. It's because of him shedding his blood. That blood is clean. You need to understand that blood. Too many of us don't understand that blood. We don't understand. One man brought sin in, Adam. One man brought grace in for all, Jesus. Jesus brought grace in for all. My grace is sufficient for you. It's made perfect in your weakness. His grace, when you understand that and you wake up every day and you say, thank you, Lord, for your grace and your mercy. I don't deserve it, but you give it to me anyway. I haven't been right. I've been wicked, but you still giving me grace. Oh, man, it's good. Some of you need to surrender. God's not mad. He's never mad. He loves you. He weeps when we're lost and we're out there living in sin and lost and separated from him. Because God is holy, you can't enter in. He can't look at you when you're operating in your sinful nature, because he's so holy that his holiness would destroy us if he looked at us. Real quick, Jesus is here to rescue you from your sinful ways, redeem you by his blood, restore you with his grace. It's time to stop playing with your life. Tomorrow's not promised. See, one thing I do know, what I love about Jesus, he'll never leave you nor forsake you. Everybody else is gonna be gone. But I can tell you that, when nothing's going right, when you laying around and you reading the word and he's gonna speak to you, he will never, ever leave you nor forsake you. Everybody else is gonna be gone, but Jesus is never gonna be gone. So some of you gotta get to that place, that Proverbs 3:5-6, trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your path. He's a great God. He's a merciful God. He's a merciful God. I don't deserve this grace, but he gave it to me because he loved me, and he loves you too. Some of you here today, I'm gonna make a call for you to make a decision with your life to Christ. Don't miss this moment. Jesus is crazy about you, but you gotta get to a place and you gotta be at a place where you surrender and you learn to be still. Psalms 46:10 says, be still and know that I'm God. See, the greatest evangelist of all time, see, I know I'm an evangelist just like you. The greatest evangelist, because God called me and told me, you're gonna be an evangelist just like Billy Graham. The greatest evangelist, Billy Graham. All Billy Graham did was win souls. He never talked about prosperity and stuff and having this. He talked about come back home, come to God. Come to God. That's the call today. Come back home. Repent. Ask him to forgive you. 2 Chronicles 7:14, if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek. Humble, pray and seek. Turn from those wicked ways. Then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and I will heal their land. God has healed my land. You want your land to be healed today. If that's you, whatever it may be, whatever you may be struggling with, whatever may be happening, whatever may be hurting you, forgiveness, my father, and I'm gonna close it with this real quick. My father, I had to go to him and repent to him and ask him to forgive me. God said, how dare you not forgive him, and I forgave you. He was in the hospital and I had to go down. God saved me. He said, you go down and you repent to him for keeping him out of your life. He says, who do you think you are? I gave you grace. Now you need to learn to give somebody else grace. And I went down there and I repented to my father, and there it was in the midst of repenting to my father, I'm leading him to the Lord. The man that beat me, rejected me, I'm leading him to the Lord. Some of you today need to get rid of some stuff. Don't walk out of here and think, take this lightly, because the devil will keep you stuck. He's good at that. He's good at doing his job. So as they play, I'm making a call today for somebody that has habits, hurts, hang-ups, need victory. Don't you walk away from that marriage. The devil deceives you and make you believe you need to walk away from that marriage because he wants to destroy your family. That's what he does. I went through 2 wives and 6 kids like a tornado because I was selfish and self-centered. God brought me to my knees to be able to walk in humility. I was able to go back to my 2 wives and tell them I was sorry. I wasn't a good husband. I wasn't a good father.